Faith of Our Fathers, 174. And if you'd stand as we sing, please. For the opening prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as once again we'd have this opportunity to assemble together before Thee in Thy house, we do so giving thanks for the continuous outpouring of Thy goodness and Thy blessings upon us. Most of all, at this time, we would give thanks for the sacrifice of Your Son. As we would come before You this day, we do so asking that You'd look down upon us with mercy and forgiveness in Your heart for our sins and our transgressions, praying that Your Spirit would be here in abundance in this service. We prayed as we'd start this time with Thee that even now You'd be pouring Your Spirit out upon our brother Dwayne, who will stand before us, that You'd be even now giving him liberty of thought and mind and word, bringing to his remembrance scriptures, and that Your Spirit of inspiration be upon him for the message that You'd have him to deliver unto us. We lift him up before Thee at this time and pray that You'd help us, that we too might also focus ourselves wholly upon this time and upon Thee to receive that You desire for us to make a part of our lives this day. We do pray that You'd be with those names, those needs that we have brought before Thee in the days, the weeks past, that You bless them each according to Thy will. Pray that You'd be with everyone in their travels. We pray that You'd be with the many upcoming activities and needs of the church that are coming up in the next few weeks with the youth camp, the conference, the reunion. I pray that Your blessings would be upon each and keep everyone safe in their travels. And so, Father, we do trust this service and Your watch care. We do ask and pray this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue this morning with the use of number 296, the old, old path, 296. Again, if you'd stand as we sing, please. Thank you. Ask you of you this morning that you try as best as you can to clear your mind and your heart of all the cares and the clutters and the concerns of the daily responsibilities of life, and you might open yourselves up, that you might be able to focus wholly upon the time that we have here, the words that will be presented to us this day, because I know if you do, you'll be indeed richly fed. I know our brother's taking the time to prepare himself, and I hope that even now you're putting aside those responsibilities of life, that we can focus wholly upon the Lord and the instruction and message you have for us this day. I give to you our brother and priest, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Glenn. It is good to be here with you today and to see that we have a pretty good crowd, even though I know we have a lot of people that have already gone back to Missouri for the camp. And I know that they're doing the will of the Lord, too, as you are, by coming here this day. You know, the title of my sermon today is going to be The Path to Eternity. Let me start by giving you the definition of path. And a path is a narrow walk or way. And the example I had in the dictionary was like a garden path. Another definition is a route along which something moves. And the third one, a course of action, conduct, or procedure. And their example was the path of righteousness. That's what a path is. But we see one of these definitions, that it's a narrow way. And that is the way to salvation. As we'll read a little bit later, it is a narrow way. And it's a route along which we move. How true that is. It is a way to get to another place, isn't it? And it's a course of action, conduct, or procedure. It's the way we handle ourselves, isn't it? That path of righteousness. You know, all mankind, as soon as they're born, they're on that path to eternity. And we know that children, before they reach that age of accountability. That if they were to die, they would go to heaven. But once you've reached that age of accountability, then it is required of us to be on that right path. But you know, there's two separate paths that lead to eternity, isn't there? Two paths that are directly opposite. And we must choose which one we take. Each one of us makes that choice. You know, our temporal life can have many paths. You know, as we're a child and we're growing up and we're going to school and we're learning. And then as we get older, we may get married and have children and we get a job. We raise a family and we retire later on. All those are different paths in this temporal life. You know, in our spiritual life, there may be many twists and turns in our life. But ultimately, we're going to end up on one of two paths. There's not a lot of paths are spiritually. There's only two. Two paths that we end up on. One is Satan's path, which leads to misery and sorrow. And no good thing comes from that. The second path is Christ's path, which leads to peace and happiness. And we know which path we want to be on, don't we? We want to be on Christ's path that leads to that peace and eternal happiness. But first, let's look at Satan's path to eternity. Let's look at the path that we want to try to stay off of. Let's turn over first to 1 Nephi chapter 2, starting in verse 48. And this is on page 20. And you'll recognize this to be Lehi's vision. Starting there in verse 48. And it came to pass that after I prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And I think that large and spacious field is talking about the world. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit were desirable to make one happy. And I think that tree is the love of God. Let's skip on down to verse 54. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. And that river of water, we know, is the depths of hell. But we see what it says here. That river of water, it ran along, and it was near the tree, wasn't it? Those depths of hell were close to that tree. Let's skip on over to verse 62. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And we know this rod of iron is the word of God. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And we know that that straight and narrow path, it leads us directly to eternal life, doesn't it? And we see that it came along by the rod of iron. That word of God is what we needed to stay on that path. Verse 64, and it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. They commenced on that path, didn't they? They were on that path. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. That mist of darkness, we know that that's the temptations of Satan. They didn't make it to the tree, did they? They were lost. Satan got in there and tempted them, and they were led away. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. So they got a hold of that rod of iron, didn't they? And it took them to that tree. But let's see what happens to them. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of waters a great and spacious building. And we know that that great and spacious building is the pride of the world. They were lifted up in pride. And it stood, as it were, in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers toward those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. Kind of sad, isn't it? They had a hold of that rod of iron. But what happened? Those people mocking at them, the things of this world. And they were led away, weren't they? It says they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. Verse 77, "And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way towards that great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into that strange building." They were wandering in strange roads. The things of this life, the temptations of this world, so prevalent in this nation today. It says, great was the multitude that entered into that strange building. They were led away. So see, we have two different groups here, don't we? Those that never did get a hold of that rod of iron and were lost. And then we see others that got a hold of that rod of iron and made it up to that tree. But they were led away and lost by the things of this world, by the temptations of Satan. Led away by the desires of their heart. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 7 and 8. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths." Their feet run to evil. Is that so prevalent today in this nation? It's rampant, isn't it? People's feet running to evil. They're drawn to it. They're attracted to it. Those temptations of this world. Verse 8, The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. They get in these crooked paths, these paths of the world. And as we read earlier, these paths do not lead to eternal life. They do not lead to eternity with our Lord and Savior. And it says, therein shall not know peace. They're not going to have peace in their heart. These temptations of this world do not bring peace and happiness. They only lead us to destruction. Let's turn over to Mormon, chapter 4, verses 57 to 64. And this is on page 709. And now I speak also concerning those who do not believe in Christ. The world is filled with them today, isn't it? Those who do not believe in Christ. Behold, will ye believe in the day of your visitation? Behold, and the Lord shall come, yea, even that great day, when the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yea, in that great day, when ye shall be brought to stand before the Lamb of God, then will ye say that there is no God? Then will ye longer deny the Christ? Or can ye behold the Lamb of God? Do ye suppose that ye shall dwell with him under a consciousness of your own guilt? Do ye suppose that ye would be happy to dwell with that holy being when your souls are racked with a consciousness of your own guilt, that ye have ever abused his laws? Behold, I say unto you, that ye would be more miserable to dwell with a holy and just God under a consciousness of your filthiness before him than ye would to dwell with the damned souls in hell. That scripture is very plain and very blunt, isn't it? A great warning to mankind. Verse 64, for behold, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God, and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. We see it says here that having that knowledge that you had not followed after the Lord and Savior, that you would be more miserable in his presence than to dwell with the damned souls in hell. It's a warning to all of us that we need to remain steadfast in our lives. And we need to press forward. You know, when I decided on the title of my sermon, I decided to look on the internet and see what it said. So I typed in, Path to Eternity. And you know, it's amazing sometimes what you find on the internet. And you know, I'm thinking the path to eternity. You know, trying to be positive of eternal life with our Lord and Savior. But you know, when you put path to eternity in the internet, you find just as much bad stuff as you do good stuff. There's stuff in there, people have put sermons in there and whatnot about the path to eternity with our Lord and Savior. But there's just as many things on the dark side. which is also a path to eternity, isn't it? A path to eternity with Satan. I want to read one of these things. It's one of the first things that came up when I put in those words, path to eternity. It's titled, Dark Are the Paths to Eternity. And it's lyrics by Dark Funeral. I'm assuming this is a song. Maybe some of you have heard of Dark Funeral. I'm assuming that's a group. I don't know. It says from the album, The Secrets of the Black Arts. Let's look at what they're thinking and see what path they're on. In the cold twilight I stand, watching the rise of the moon. In my deep dreaming eyes, the reflection shines so clear. With the burning eyes of a wolf, the moonscape I behold. I can hear the souls astray whisper from the shadows. Oh, beautiful night, thou art my mistress, enshrouded in thy mysticism. Forever I will be, enwrapped in the darkness. I wander across the fields of this haunted land in solitude, enlightened by the moon. I am eternal, a life immortal in darkness. Alone I have wandered in the mysteries eternal. In my dreams I spread my wings. Oh, the winds are calling my cursed name. In tranquility I fly into eternity. The silence is broken by my screams. Oh, mysterious night, thou art my silent mistress. Make me once more one with the dark. Like a black raven, I fly across the haunted fields. Immortality runs thick through my veins. In endless shadowed time, I wandered through the night. Ensnared by the moonlight, I howl upon the dark. Raptured by the winds that whispers in forbidden tongues. I'm eternal, a life immortal in darkness. Alone I have wandered in the mysteries of the eternal. It's kind of sad, isn't it? I don't see any hope there. I see darkness and doom. But we know that is describing one of those paths to eternity, isn't it? One of those two paths that each one of us chooses, which we will go on. You know, we've heard a lot recently about Uday and Kusei. We know this last week that they were killed. And we know the things that we read about them. The terrible acts against humanity, against society that they had committed. You know, they too were on a path to eternity. And we know the scriptures talk very plainly against those things that they were doing and partaking in. But that's the life they had chosen. That's the path to eternity they were choosing. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 1, verses 79 to 85. This is on page 214. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's paths, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore, he listeth to obey the evil spirit and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. An enemy to all righteousness. We must always be aware of these things in our lives. The temptations of Satan will always be with us as long as we're in this mortal body. We must always strive to overcome them. Because we know that we are in these last days. And we're going to see things come upon this nation, upon this world. And there will be many temptations that will lead many away. So we need to always be aware of these things and make sure that we're on that right path at all times. Verse 82. Therefore, the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not, and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. When we commit sins in our lives, we need to repent of those things and forsake those things. Because that path that Satan has is always there. And he's always there inviting us to get onto his path. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 85, and this is on page 417. Now, the Zoramites were dissenters from the Nephites. Therefore, they had the word of God preached unto them. So these people had the word. They had the truth preached unto them. They knew the difference between right and wrong. But let's look at the path that they followed after. They were no different than us. Each one of us sitting here today. They knew the truth. But let's see what happened to them. But they had fallen into great errors, for they would not observe to keep the commandments of God and his statutes according to the law of Moses. Neither would they observe the performances of the church to continue in prayer and supplication to God daily, that they might not enter into temptation. Yea, in fine, they did pervert the ways of the Lord in very many instances. Therefore, for this cause, Alma and his brethren went into the land to preach the word unto them. Now, when they had come into the land, behold, to their astonishment, they found that the Zoramites had built synagogues, and that they did gather themselves together on one day of the week, which day they did call the day of the Lord. And they did worship after a manner which Alma and his brethren had never beheld. For they had a place built up in the center of their synagogue, a place for standing, which was high above the head, and the top thereof would only admit one person. Therefore, whosoever desired to worship must go forth and stand upon the top thereof, and stretch forth his hands toward heaven, and cry with a loud voice, saying, Holy, holy God, we believe that thou art God, and we believe that thou art holy, and that thou wast a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou wilt be a spirit forever. Holy God, we believe that thou hast separated us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the traditions of our brethren. which was handed down to them by the children, by the childishness of their fathers. But we believe that thou hast elected us to be thy holy children. Look how far off they got. They didn't believe in the traditions of their brethren. And they fell away from those things. Those truths that were passed down. They had fallen away from those. And come up with their own religion. Verse 92. And also, thou hast made it known unto us that there shall be no Christ. That thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou hast elected us that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast by thy wrath down to hell, for the which holiness, O God, we thank thee. And we also thank thee that thou hast elected us, that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which doth bind them down to a belief of Christ, which doth lead their hearts to wander far from thee, our God. They're talking about not being led away. But they were led away, weren't they? Their brothers who were still in that traditions, still following after the Lord, were on the right path. But these Zoramites, who once knew the truth and were part of it, now look where they're at, thinking that they're the only ones that will be saved and that there will be no Christ. As far away from the truth as you can get, for we know that the Scriptures tell us that the only way to eternal life is through Christ. But they had been led away. Let's drop down to verse 99. Now, after the people had offered up thanks after this manner, they returned to their homes, never speaking of their God again, until they had assembled themselves together again to the holy stand to offer up thanks after their manner. And when Alma saw this, his heart was grieved, and he saw that they were a wicked and perverse people. Yea, he saw that their hearts were set upon gold and upon silver and upon all manner of fine goods. Yea, and he also saw that their hearts were lifted up unto great boasting in their pride. These people had completely left the truth, hadn't they? After having once known it. They had completely left it and followed other paths. They would come and worship this false worship one day a week, and the rest of their life they would do nothing, would they? Follow after their will, after the pride of their hearts. Now let's look at Christ's path to eternity. His path leads to peace and happiness and eternal life with our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Alma chapter 5, verses 33 to 41. This is on page 325. For I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that ye cannot walk in crooked paths. There we hear this word again, crooked paths. That we cannot walk in them. We know that Christ's path is straight, isn't it? It leads us straight to eternal life with Him. Verse 35, neither doth He vary from that which He hath said, neither hath He a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore, His course is one eternal round, and He doth not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received into the kingdom of God. Therefore, I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might wake you to a sense of your duty to God, that ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that ye should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. These are things that we need to have in our lives if we're to stay on that path, on Christ's path to eternal life. Asking for whatsoever thing ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive, and see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and then ye will always abound in good works. We're to pray to our God in all things in our life. If we feel like we're slipping, pray to God. Pray that He will help you. And give Him thanks for all those blessings that He does for us. And we're to have faith, hope, and charity. And then you'll always abound in good works. We need to have these good works in our life. They need to always be there. We need to always strive to do better in our life. You know, in Psalms 25, verse 4, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. You know, if we seek after Him, if we diligently seek after Him, if we have questions about the way that we should go, or what path we should be in, our Lord has promised to teach us those things. He will always be there for us. All we have to do is come to Him and seek after Him. Let's turn over to Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We see it says, ask for the old paths, the path that our Lord and Savior has established for each one of us. You know, I asked for song number 296, the old path, for our second song. I want to read you the words to this song. There's an old path, and the sun shines through life's dark storm clouds from its home of blue. In this old path, made strangely sweet by the touch divine of His blessed feet, find the old path, 'twill be ever new. for the Savior walks all the way with you. In this old, old path are my friends most dear, and I walk with them with the angels near. 'Tis an old, old path, shadowed veils between, yet I fearless walk with the Nazarene. That old, old path, that one that was established by our Lord and Savior. That's the path that we must remain in. It says, for the Savior walks all the way with you. He will be there with us, walking side by side on that path, if we will let Him in our lives and seek after Him and His guidance and direction. And it says, yet I fearless walk with the Nazarene. We don't need to have fear in our lives. If we're walking with Christ down that path, we don't need to fear anything in this life. Nothing. Because He will be there to uplift us and strengthen us and guide us if we remain faithful to Him. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As we read earlier in Lehi's vision, it says that few there be that find it. So I guess there are only few that find that path to eternal life with our Lord and Savior. So I guess we know which path those many others are on, don't we? Because we know that there are only two paths. Let's look at that gate. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 13. Verses 24 to 32. This is on page 162. There are very few that find this gate. We should realize how fortunate we are to be here today. To have found that gate. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water. Then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. That's how we get on that path to eternal life. That's the path that we must go down. We must repent of our sins and be baptized by water. You know, we can have many things in our life lead up to that point. But we must go through that gate. We must go through that gate to stay on that straight path that leads to our Lord and Savior. Verse 25, and then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten in this straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, is all done after we've gotten that path? Verse 28, behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. So after we've gone through that gate and we're on that path, there's more required of us, isn't there? Before we reach that goal of eternal life with our Lord and Savior, it says we must press forward with steadfastness in Christ. We must continually move forward, trying to do better, trying to do the will of our Lord and Savior with that perfect brightness of hope, that hope of a better world, and a love of God and of all men. Or to have this love in our hearts. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. It says here that we must endure to the end. The end of this life, we must endure. We must endure the trials and the hardships of this life. But if we do, we will have that eternal life with our Lord and Savior. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. This is the only way. This is the only path. All other paths lead to destruction. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. We have the rules, don't we? We have the commandments. We know the will of our Lord and Savior. We know what He requires of us. The choice is ours. And you know, for I think for each one of us, as we listen to sermons like this, and we may think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm sitting here in church today trying to follow after the will of the Lord. But I think these things are warnings to us. They're warnings to us of things in the future. Those things that are going to come upon this world. We're going to have to remain strong. And it may not always be easy. And when things get tough, we need to remember these things. Remember that our Lord and Savior has a plan for us. And if we're true to Him, He's promised to walk down that path with us, side by side, always there to take our hand and lead us along. Let's turn over to Matthew, chapter 11. Verses 28 to 30. These are Christ's words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise our Lord and Savior has made unto us. When we're heavy laden with the burdens of this life, and the sin and temptation that's out there before us, our Lord and Savior, who's walking along with us on this path, has promised that He will give you rest. He will be there with you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can find that rest for our souls if we're faithful to our Lord and Savior. And we remain on that path and ask for His guidance and His direction in our lives. Let's turn over to Psalms, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Very familiar scripture to all of us. I can remember this scripture standing out when I was a very small child. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Lord and Savior has promised to be there with us and to never leave our sides if we seek after Him and if we're faithful to Him. And we know that if we are and we stay on that path, that path to eternal life with our Lord and Savior, that we will someday dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I know that that's the goal of each one of us in this room today, to dwell in that house of the Lord forever. But there are things required of us. And we must not be complacent. We must continually strive to improve our lives, to follow more closely after our Lord and Savior. And it's my prayer today that each one of us are up to the challenge. And we will be able to stay on that path and endure to the end, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. We'll close this morning's service with the use of number 315, Heavenly Love Abiding, 315. And if you'd stand as we sing, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for this time and the message we've received, and pray that you might help us, that we might always keep ourselves focused in our travels on the path that would lead unto life eternal with Thee. Pray that you would continue with us this day and the fellowship and activities we'll have into the service later this evening, and pray that you'd be with us in all these things. Continue to be with those who are traveling and be with those who are in Missouri and the many responsibilities that they have there, and that your blessings be upon them. For these things we do give thanks, and we do ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.